Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The Food Revolution Summit kicks off online today. Over the next week, 45 doctors and healthcare practitioners will share the latest science on food, health, and planetary survival. They will focus on a number of issues, including conquering heart disease, cutting your cancer risk, and nutrition facts, fads, and essential nutrients. Over the past few months, we've been doing a number of shows about cancer, chronic disease, and prevention. The data shows that we are going in the wrong direction in this country, but today's guests say it doesn't have to be this way. And full disclaimer, a month after my dad was diagnosed with cancer last May, I decided to sign up for the Food Revolution Network's Health Coach Certification Program. My classes started a month after he passed in January. I don't know what I'll do with the certification, but I wanted to do this in honor of my dad. And we have been doing these shows about health and prevention to honor my dad, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. These issues deserve so much more attention. And I'm happy to be joined by doctors who are featured at this year's Food Revolution Summit. Dr. Daphne Bascom is Chief Operating Officer and Certified Health Coach with The Vegan Gym, a science-based vegan health and fitness coaching program designed to help you gain strength and feel your best without restrictive diets or confusion. Dr. Daphne Bascom is also host of the podcast Thrive on Plants. Dr. Bascom previously served as Vice President of Population Health for St. Luke's Health System in Kansas City, Senior Vice President and Medical Director at the YMCA of Greater Kansas City, and Interim Chief Health Officer for YMCA of the USA. Dr. Bascom was also previously the Chief Clinical Systems Officer for the Cleveland Clinic Health System. Hi, Dr. Bascom. Thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and my condolences on your father. My health journey and my life journey has also been very much in honor of my own parents who have passed.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Do you want to tell us a bit about your parents and what happened?
Oh, I'd be happy to. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and so I'm a proud Buffalo girl. And my parents were wonderful. They ate a standard American diet, as many of us did. My mother, unfortunately, was a smoker for many years and succumbed to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Mm. And after she passed, I moved my father very close to me. We were across the street from each other. And it was at that time that I started to cook for him, to focus on movement, exercise. And what he said to me is, what do people do who don't have a you? Because he strongly felt that the additional years that he gained on his life were partly because I helped him eat healthfully. I made sure that he moved his body. And we focused on all of the things that are important from a lifestyle modification perspective to prevent disease and to manage disease. But I wish I had been able to do something for both of them 30 years ago.
How old was your mom when she passed?
My mom was only 81. She was young.
I love that you say only 81. I ask about age now, Dr. Bascom, because my dad was only 74 and was so full of life. And that is so young today. What about your dad?
My dad passed at 85.
Wow.
You're correct. Your father had another 20 or 30 years of life in him. Mm. And I applaud you seeking your health coach certification, because I'm sure he would want you to help others understand what they can do to prevent or reduce their risk of developing cancer. Mm-hmm. Or at least what I think we can do collectively is empower people with knowledge that the food we put in our bodies, the environment we're exposed to, the stress that we endure, the sleep that we don't get, the movement that we should all strive to achieve every day, those are all things that are in our control to positively impact our health.
Well, you're right, because this was a conversation we had all the time. And my dad told me, you can talk about my story, help others. He was addicted to fast food and ultra processed food and struggled with his weight for decades. He was not moving very much for the last 8 or so years of his life. And it was hard to change because he had an addiction. Yeah. And I've been saying on these shows that there's no judgment. It is difficult. It is extremely hard in our society today because, as you know, I always bring up this example because my dad was a sheet metal worker and a woodworker. And so I would go to stores like, the stores that sell wood and nails and hammers and all of that. And even when you buy those things, when you check out, you're surrounded by cookies and candies. And so it's so hard to say no because we're bombarded with these things on a daily basis in this country.
You are 100% correct. And there is no judgment. This is a change that needs to be systemic. And don't get me wrong, is as much as I would take my dad healthy foods, every now and again, he would be like, can I have some chicken wings? And I didn't want to deprive him. Those are, whether it's a carton of milk, whether it's chicken wings, which of course was a staple in Buffalo. These are foods that many of our bodies became accustomed to. And the ultra processed food, the fast food, all of the things that are not necessarily whole foods, they are things that our bodies, I don't want to say use the word addicted, but we are addicted to them. And changing behavior is hard. And that's not to say that we're not in some ways recreating this with some of the plant-based fast foods. I worry that we are going to encounter some of the same challenges if we're not careful, but behavior change is so hard. And the fact that he had you to try and help him was key.
I'll never forget. I was living with him for 3 months after he was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. He sadly was diagnosed tragically with a very rare aggressive form of small cell prostate cancer. And this is the one where less than 2% of prostate cancer patients get this. And it's just devastating because he did chemo and radiation and it didn't work. And he was gone in 7 months. And so I was living with him for 3 months and then another 5 weeks, and I would make him oatmeal in the morning. And then I tested all of these different smoothies with him to see which one he liked. And I'll never forget, he came out of his bedroom one morning and he said, "This is the best I've felt in a long time. And I think it's because of the food that you're making me." And I remember saying, "I think one of my biggest regrets in life is going to be that I could not reach you." And he said, "You don't understand food addiction. There's nothing you could have done." And it was early January. There's no way I could have talked about this without crying even last month. But he knew he had a food addiction. I mean, he talked about it with me openly. And it was still so hard to break. So it's not like he was in denial. He talked about it on a right. It dominated our conversations. And it was still so hard to overcome.
But the beautiful thing is he felt the difference. Right. That's not to say that the addiction was still there. And it's heartening to know that you were able to have those open conversations with him. And again, I don't know how you have processed your grief I will share that I still process it every day, thinking about what could I have done differently? But I think the goal is to pay it forward.
Yeah, this is why I'm doing these shows, because every day, even yesterday, I was getting ready for the show and reading about you and the podcast that you do and all of the guests who have stories, some of the guests who have stories about having chronic disease and then overcoming them with food. You had arthritis, right?
I'm 58. I don't mind sharing. And prior to becoming fully plant-based, I was starting to suffer some arthritic changes. I don't think I realized the power of food until I experienced it. And now a lot of the things that I had, you know, started to think about in my 40s, thinking it's just age, it's not just age. A lot of those things are, I don't even think about now because I just don't have to deal with them.
Right. Well, and to your point, when I was reading about your background and just the power of making small changes and how effective that can be in a short amount of time, I lost it. I just lost it because I, like you said, I thought about my dad and I thought, ah, oh, why couldn't I or someone else reach him? Again, 74 is just too young. And I think, Dr. Bascom, this is what's so important about this research, the science, the data out there. We know that diseases linked to an unhealthy diet and lifestyle choices are the leading cause of death in the United States. I mean, this was data published in JAMA back in 2018. So 7 years ago. We've known about this for a long time, whether you're talking about lung cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, blood sugar, all of this. And what's incredible about making changes to your diet and lifestyle is the effects happen so fast. It's never too late. And I wish we talked about that more. Can you just talk about the fact that it's never too late to make these changes?
Absolutely. Because I do think people have the perception, even if you are already, no matter where you are in your life journey, if you're listening and you're 20 or you're listening and you're 90, making intentional small changes today will make a difference and you will feel it no matter what you do. If you can make small changes in how you feel your body. And a lot of times I think people feel that they have to go from zero to hero, but that's not the case. These are changes such as you did with your dad, changing one meal, starting with breakfast, or introducing a healthy green smoothie. Those small changes over time, if applied consistently, will add up. And that applies no matter what age you are. And I would say the same thing with movement. Even though there are definitely benefits that we can accrue by starting younger. And so I would definitely encourage anyone listening who's in their 20s and 30s, this is the time you lay your foundation for your future health. But even if you're listening, you're 74, 84, 94, the food that you have on your plate and how you move your body every day, today is the day to make a difference. And it doesn't mean that you have to upend your entire life. It just means making small intentional changes that you do consistently. And over time, those will add up and you will notice significant change.
And this is such important information, Dr. Bascom, because we've been doing a lot of shows about cancer, and the latest research shows that so many more young adults are getting cancer, which is absolutely devastating. I mean, after going through this with my dad, with the chemo and the radiation and just how it changes the entire family, no one wants to go through this. And yet we're seeing so many people under 50 being diagnosed with over a dozen forms of cancer. And this is around the world. It's not just the United States. So this information is just so crucial to get out there.
It is. And I think shows like this and having these open conversations is important. And I do worry that it's the aggregate of our toxic load. I'm right in the middle right now of a challenge in our Thrive on Plants community where I've called it spring cleaning. So how are you spring cleaning your health? And that spring cleaning means understanding how what you eat the tools that you store your food in, the containers that you use, how you cook, the bedding that you are exposed to, the products that you use to clean your home, the food that you put in your body. There are micro exposures to toxins in our environment. And it's not that we'll ever be toxin-free. That is an unattainable goal in the world we live in. So I'm calling it toxin aware. And I think for this generation that's coming up, to your point, as part of the lectures we give in our academy, I talked about the Black Panther and why should we lose someone to colon cancer so young when it's a preventable, early detectable disease. I talked about Val Kilmer after Val Kilmer passed, and having a background when I was practicing, I was in head and neck oncology. And again, we have the knowledge to make lifestyle changes that can reduce our risk. Will it ever go to zero? Perhaps not. But by being informed and empowered to make decisions about our lifestyle in particular, that's where we can make intentional changes. And also encouraging this, the generation before us or the next two generations, our environment is going to be key. And so we can't ignore what we're doing on a global basis that's impacting our environment that may also be contributing to the changes that we're seeing in both cancer and other chronic diseases.
Dr. Daphne Bascom is Chief Operating Officer and Certified Health Coach with The Vegan Gym, a science-based vegan health and fitness coaching program designed to help you gain strength without restrictive diets or confusion. She also hosts the Thrive on Plants podcast. Dr. Daphne Bascom previously served as Vice President of Population Health for St. Luke's Health System in Kansas City, Senior Vice President and Medical Director at the YMCA of Greater Kansas City, and Chief Clinical Systems Officer for the Cleveland Clinic Health System. She actually was a head and neck reconstruction surgeon. Her goal was to put people back together again after a cancer surgery or after a traumatic event. And Dr. Bascom is featured at this year's Food Revolution Summit, which kicks off online today. Over the next week, 45 doctors and healthcare practitioners will share the latest science on food, health, and planetary survival. This is a free event, and you can find information on how to sign up at kalw.org, click news, and your call. And now I would like to welcome Dr. Monica Agarwal to the show. Dr. Agarwal is a nutrition specialist and cardiologist who prevents and treats disease with diet and lifestyle. Dr. Monica Agarwal is adjunct associate professor in the University of Florida's Division of Cardiovascular Medicine, where she conducts research on the impact of nutrition in chronic illness. She's author of the book, Body on Fire, How Inflammation Triggers Chronic Illness and the Tools We Have to Fight It. It outlines prescriptions to help guide people to better health, and author of The Body on Fire Cookbook. Dr. Agarwal is host of the podcast Seeking Voices, Exploring the Science of Health and Healing. Hi, Dr. Agarwal. Thank you so much for your work and thank you for joining us.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Dr. Agarwal, Dr. Bascom and I have been talking about just what the latest science says about chronic disease and cancer. And we've been doing so many shows over the past couple months. And as you know, we're just going in the wrong direction. But the good news is that the science shows that even if you make very small diet and lifestyle choices, the effects are massive. And you know this firsthand, just like Dr. Bascom. So can you talk about that?
Sure. So, you know, I think part of the thing that people often don't understand is that what every single thing we do our whole life, it has good benefits and can also hurt us, right? And so while we don't have to focus on every single time we eat a bad food or don't exercise isn't the deal, but as much as to focus on what can I do that there's so many things you can do in your daily life that can empower your, that can help you heal and can reduce your risk. So when I, after my, I have three children, and after I had my third child, about 5 months after, I was diagnosed with a debilitating form of rheumatoid arthritis. And people who have know my...
Oh, did we just lose Dr. Agarwal? I think we just lost her. Are you still there? Okay, I think we're having some technical issues. We will reconnect with Dr. Agarwal. Dr. Bascom, you know, I think what's so interesting about so many of the doctors that we've had on is that, like you and Dr. Agarwal, is that most of them have had health issues and then stumbled upon research, because you didn't get much of this in medical school, in nutrition classes. They stumbled upon nutrition research and realized, oh, we can actually make major changes by making these changes to our diet and our lifestyle. This has really been a theme on the shows we've been doing.
It is. And I know things are changing, and I give credit to the American College of Lifestyle Medicine for really trying to expand the reach and impact of how lifestyle is so important and finding ways to integrate it into health education. And I'll say that for physicians, nurses, PAs, NPs, all parts of the healthcare team need to have this knowledge. But the kind of that aha moment for a lot of us was either, as Dr. Agarwal was sharing, our own health challenge, or helping a family member or a friend try and navigate their own health and realizing, why didn't someone tell me this sooner? And that does make me mad, because I don't know what else I could have done. And I feel like I could have done so much for my own parents if I'd had the knowledge I have today 30 years ago.
Did you learn much about nutrition in medical school? I mean, again, to think you were a head and neck reconstruction surgeon. I mean, that's incredible to think about, that you were putting people's bodies back together. Did you learn about nutrition in medical school?
Not in terms of food being medicine, no. It was, what I learned was how to, I did a lot of swallowing dysphagia work in terms of helping people swallow. So helping people feed themselves if they had a swallowing disorder, or, you know, providing them with the appropriate nutrition if they needed a feeding tube. But it was always disease focused. It was never health focused and preventive. That didn't come till many years after I stopped practicing.
Why did you stop practicing? If you don't mind me asking.
Partly because I no longer felt I was making the difference that I wanted to. It's what we do is a privilege. And in training as a surgeon, that was one of the things that my mentors told me. When people allow you to cut on them, that is a privilege beyond one that people are putting their life in our hands. But by the time they got to me, I was only able to put part of the puzzle together. Wow. And if you can't eat, if you can't speak, if you are not able to go out and live life, to me, that wasn't where I wanted to be in terms of helping people be healthy. So I needed to find a way to understand my why, and my why changed as I started to see that healthcare was sick care. It wasn't really, I wasn't making people healthy. I was trying to help put them together after they had reached the point where chemo, radiation, and other means were no longer effective.
Oh, that's so interesting because after my dad passed, I actually called his primary care doctor and I asked her if she talked to my dad about his struggles with weight and his food addictions. Because, sometimes he wanted to hear from, quote, the expert, not his daughter, which I understand. And I mean, I'm grateful that she called me back. And she said we did have some conversations and it was hard. But I will tell you, Dr. Bascom, and you probably won't be surprised by this, my dad was addicted to Diet Pepsi and she told him to drink it in moderation. And, telling an addict to drink something in moderation, but that's, and so he told me, she said I can do it in moderation. And how do you respond to that when the doctor, the expert, said it's okay?
And you probably learned in your health coaching, and this is something that Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn has said, not me, moderation kills. There, what is, when you tell someone, it's like eat in moderation, exercise in moderation, what does that mean? We don't put parameters that are understandable to those that we're trying to care for. And so it's a little bit of a permissive conversation to say it's okay when we really need to sit down and have the hard conversation in terms of how do we take you from your what you're drinking today and move you and start to introduce more water, sparkling water, or other things that are more healthful. Not saying it's going to be overnight, but I need to walk with you on that journey and help you create the milestones to get there. Because just saying moderation, that's not a prescription for success.
And I love the visual of just walking with you on your journey, and again, doing it without judgment and doing it with compassion. It's just so important because these, like you say, these issues are very hard and very personal. And again, we've been doing so many shows about cancer, chronic disease, health, and prevention. We're just losing too many people. And the other thing that's been coming up on our show is that it's such a hard time politically right now, and we do a lot of very hardcore political shows. It's hard to be involved in your community. It's hard to be an activist if you're not healthy. And if you're caregiving, it's also hard to be active in your community because caregiving is a full-time job. So there are just so many elements to this that need more attention, and that's why we're talking about it so much on this show. We're going to take a quick break. Today, we're joined by Dr. Daphne Bascom. She is one of the 45 doctors and healthcare practitioners who are featured in this year's Food Revolution Summit. It kicks off online today. It is free. Dr. Bascom and so many others are sharing the latest science on food, health, and planetary survival. And you can find out how to sign up at kalw.org, click news, and your call. Dr. Daphne Bascom was a neck and head reconstruction surgeon. She is now the COO and certified health coach with the Vegan Gym. It's a science-based vegan health and fitness coaching program that really does so much for people without restrictive diets or confusion. She hosts the podcast Thrive on Plants. If you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will do a series of shows marking 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War. We hope you can join us for that. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's conversation with Dr. Daphne Bascom, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. www.org. Dr. Daphne Bascom is one of the 45 doctors and healthcare practitioners who will be featured in the Food Revolution Summit, which kicks off online today. It is a free week-long event. Dr. Bascom is COO and certified health coach with the Vegan Gym. She hosts the podcast Thrive on Plants. She previously served as Vice President of Population Health for St. Luke's Health System in Kansas City and Chief Clinical Systems Officer for the Cleveland Clinic Health System. And let's hear from a caller who has been waiting patiently. Let's go to Bill in San Francisco. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding.
Rose, I'm sorry about your father.
Thank you.
And I'm sure he was very proud of the work he do.
He was. Thank you.
I took a rather drastic weight loss program, which is called Cancer. And luckily for me, I'm in remission. But one of the problems that I'm having is that my iron numbers across the board, whether it's ferritin, whether it's hemoglobin, et cetera, are still they're anemic. And I've tried to improve things. I've used citrus when I eat iron foods, but it's still, this is a year and a third after surgery, I still have low numbers, and I do believe that it's affecting my energy level. Any ideas?
Bill, stay on the line. Are you taking any supplements?
I'm not taking supplements now. I haven't been, but I have been prescribed something. Yes.
Okay. I'll see if Dr. Bascom can respond. And if you have a follow-up, feel free to stay on the line. Dr. Bascom, okay. Can you respond to Bill?
Bill, first of all, thank you for joining today. And kudos on thriving through your cancer journey. It sounds like you're doing all the right things. Adding the citrus to your meals to help improve the absorption. Not knowing exactly where your numbers are, I was going to ask the same question that Rose had posed, which is, have you and your healthcare team talked about an iron supplement, or are you taking a multivitamin with iron in order to
help? I'm going to start that. And I did tell my friend a week after the election, Rose, that I didn't change my DNR responses after the election. Do not resuscitate. A small joke. So you think the supplement might help?
Bill, I think that would be a very safe place to start. I would definitely encourage you to make sure that you're having the conversation with your healthcare team, just in case there's any contraindication why you wouldn't. Also making sure, sometimes iron can be constipating too, so making sure you're getting your fiber foods so that you have good bowel health. Continue with your having the citrus with your vegetables, because that can enhance your iron absorption. And if for some reason that energy isn't coming back or your blood count continues to be low, make sure you sit down with your team and say, let's take a look and see if there's something we're missing that we need to be considering.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling in. And I'm so glad that you have had actual success with your diagnosis. And I hope that this information helps. So thank you so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. We have an email from Zach who says, I'm an artist in San Francisco who has struggled with addiction my whole life and now am faced with certain health complications, including weight gain and diabetes, the result of a life of excess. I've been listening to your shows these past months and find it to be more than inspirational. I am happy to say my health is improving and want to say thank you for the wonderful thing you do on the radio. Ah, Zach, thank you. You've made my month. I'm so glad that these shows are helpful. And again, Zach, I really hope that you feel that there's no judgment here, because that's not what we want to do. And it's hard to talk about weight. Dr. Bascom, I felt like I could do these shows about weight because of the experience I had with my dad, but it's really tough to talk about weight in today's society. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. A few of the doctors that we've had on have said that they know their colleagues don't talk about it with their patients because they're afraid of getting very low grades online and reviews.
Yeah.
And yet we have to talk about it because we're in a crisis right now. I mean, I have so many family members who are struggling with this, and Zach writing in, so many people are struggling with this. And I'm afraid that if we don't talk about it, people don't know what to do and they're stuck.
Rose, you are correct. The hard part about having a weight conversation in a 15 or a 30 minute clinical encounter in an office is that it's so complex, and which is why health coaching is such a valuable adjunct to a lot of clinical practices, because we can take the time to sit down with someone like Zach and explore what options there may be and have a very candid conversation. A lot of people come to the vegan gym because their entry point is because they want to lose weight or body recomposition. We actually try and talk more in terms of fat loss. And I frequently like to reframe it by saying, let's talk about what you have to gain. You have an opportunity to gain muscle. You have an opportunity to gain health. In this process, in this going through this with us, you will lose fat. It's not just about weight, but it's about losing the appropriate elements. And I that's mainly body fat, visceral fat, and in the process, gaining muscle. So let's focus on what you're going to gain. But by ignoring the conversation, we're not helping our patients. We're not helping our community. And so there's no stigma, there's no shame. And this is not a body shaming conversation. This is a health conversation. Mm-hmm. And we need to treat it that way.
Right. Well, Zach, again, thank you so much. And I'm so glad these shows have been so helpful for you. And just sending you my best wishes on your journey, because these issues are so important. Dr. Bascom, my neighbor actually, I ran into my neighbor the other day, and she said, my dad is an endocrinologist. And she said, he does not eat well at all. And she said, because of these shows, I'm just trying to get him to eat some more fruits and vegetables. He's just in his routine and doesn't really think about it anymore. And she said, it's starting to work. Things like, it sounds so simple, but it makes a difference. Adding more blueberries, eating oatmeal, just making sure that you've got vegetables on your plate for lunch and dinner. I mean, her dad, an endocrinologist, doesn't eat these things.
And that is the beauty of healthy food, because it's, and again, it's not what you are, this is not restriction. This is all of the beautiful, amazing plant foods that you're adding. So you're adding to your plate. And whether it's you're an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, an otolaryngologist, many of us do not always understand the health benefits of the foods that we're talking about. And a lot of what the amazing experts that will be sharing their knowledge in the FRN Food Revolution Network series. But now is an opportunity to learn from each other. And with that, make those small changes that can be impactful.
What would you say to people who are overwhelmed? Because never before have we had so much information. A lot of it is science-backed, but a lot of it is not. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. People are very confused. I always think about just going back to simple eating and simple cooking, but it's easier said than done. So how do you talk to people about this who are very confused and overwhelmed?
I would welcome Dr. Agarwal to weigh in too, but from the perspective of being a coach in particular, we try and reduce the overwhelm. And in an era where there's almost too much information, whether it's social media, whether it's the news, whether whatever your source of information may be, if we go back to first principles and we think about whole foods first, we really try, our goal is to meet people where they are. So there is not the sense of overwhelm. It's not the sense of, I have to be perfect, or I have to change everything, or I'm doing it wrong. That is not the way to enact sustainable behavior change. It really is, let's start together. Let's understand what you're doing today. And then let's find things that we can do in order to move you in the direction of making healthier choices and cutting out some of the, whether it's the food noise, whether it's the social media noise. But we try and educate, and that education is then empowerment. Because when you educate the community, they are better able to discern the information that's coming into them and then make decisions that they know are backed by evidence, science, best practice, wherever we are today.
Dr. Daphne Bascom is COO and certified health coach with The Vegan Gym. She was a head and neck reconstruction surgeon. And we'd like to welcome back Dr. Monica Agarwal. We had some technical issues. She is a nutrition specialist and cardiologist who prevents and treats disease with diet and lifestyle. Dr. Agarwal, we're going to have you back again because unfortunately we've got just under 10 minutes or so.
I know. I apologize for my technical problems.
No problem. You sound much better. So what would you like to add to this discussion? Just given where we are right now, we have more information than ever, and yet we're going in the wrong direction when it comes to chronic disease and cancer.
Yeah, you know, I see patients every day. And so I am fully aware and understand how overwhelmed and confused people are. If you look out at social media, you can see 10 different people telling you 10 different things about the same topic. And there's so much, even within medicine, there's so many people that are speaking differently. And the reality and the reason that is because doctors are not trained in nutrition. They don't receive nutrition education. Most medical schools don't teach about nutrition or food or food as medicine. They make up their nutrition, quote unquote, education by talking about nutrition pathways. In other words, how food works in your body, but not really the stuff that most of us as consumers and patients want to know. And so many of the doctors that are out there spitting out like eat this or eat keto and eat this way and animals are great or whatever they're saying, it's often not founded upon any great data or great education, I'm sorry to say. In most of the education I have was self-taught and learned through working with great lead scientists around the world. I'm now the chairperson of the nutrition work group of the American College of Cardiology. So we get to, as cardiologists, our biggest conference is the American College of Cardiology, and it's all cardiologists coming together to talk about issues related to the heart. And I have the privilege of being the chair of the nutrition work group. And so our job there is to sort of break through some of the confusing areas related to nutrition. And what people should not be unclear on is that plant-forward eating is the optimal eating pattern. So there should be no debate like, well, I read that you can eat 70 grams of fat and it's okay because I cut sugar out. Well, no, hold on, that's not true. But you will hear that because I have heard that. And so there should be no debate that we want to be eating plant-forward. And what that means is no minimal to no ultra processed foods. And we want to be eating whole foods. So that's fruits and vegetables, 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. We want to be eating grains, but not those simple grains and those simple carbs that just activate your sugar and make your insulin levels go up and down really quickly. We want to be eating complex carbohydrates like beans and whole wheat and oats. We want to be eating nuts and seeds. We want to be eating beans and lentils. And so these are the kind of foods we want to be eating. Now, if somebody says, well, how about fish or how about this? You know, yeah, a little bit of fish. There's data to suggest that you can eat a little bit of fish and that it's good for the heart and good for the body. The problem with fish these days is that so much of the fish is full of pollutants, right? Like microplastics and PCBs and dioxins. So it's not so clear, but we do know that eating plant forward is the optimal diet. So there should be no debate there. So when there's confusion out in the world, I often come back to the basics. We know that eating more plants is optimal. If you want to get into specifics, so should I eat this or that? I try not to live in that space. I just focus on the foundation, more plants every day, all day long.
Well, let's hear from a caller who has a very important question. Let's go to Nikki in Berkeley. Hi, Nikki. Welcome to the show.
And thank you for your gifts and all the invaluable information. I'm calling because I have a son who's overweight. So therefore, his energy is very low. So he decided that he's going to drink Coca-Cola without sugar. And I think he drinks about 2 bottles a day. And I said, no, you ought to find out what's in that product. Because if it revs you up, there's something in it that that will cause you to get more energy. And that might be harmful to you. So I'm calling you to find out about these Coca-Cola drinks without sugar. What should he be aware of?
Oh, thank you, Nikki. I feel you. I had the same experience with my dad, so I completely understand. And this is your son we're talking about now. And Dr. Agarwal, were you able to hear Nikki?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, great question, Nikki. Great. I'm glad you're thinking and advocating for your son. But you know, it's so hard out there because to his point, he's logically thinking, well, sugar is my problem. So if I have a sugar substitute that's not really sugar, then I'm going to lose weight. And so, yeah, there is some data to say that if you drink diet drinks that you can lose weight. But there's also data that shows that drinking drinks like diet drinks are inflammatory, and they activate, you know, molecules in your body that actually don't help you in terms of inflammation and weight loss. And so I think what I would tell your son is that if the food is coming from and this is hard for, and I don't, you didn't mention the age of the kid, but what is sometimes hard for people to understand is that food doesn't start in a can or in a jar. And so sometimes, or in a bottle. And sort of reminding our kids and our young ones that where food comes from. And I work on a farm, and I work on Four Roots Farm in Orlando. And in that farm, some of my greatest joy is bringing the kids out to the farm and showing them that guacamole didn't start in a container, or that garlic didn't start with chopped and covered in oil. It actually starts in the ground. And I think teaching kids, again, to remember where their food comes from and where it starts, I think is a really important piece of this. And what I think is hard for kids is your son is thinking logically. The problem is that diet drinks and processed drinks and are all, what they don't see is that it's all chemicals, that it's highly inflammatory, that maybe the weight loss benefit isn't so great. And then what often people will do is they'll have a pizza and then they'll have Diet Coke, right? Because they'll say, well, I love my pizza, so I want to keep that. But then if I have something diet, I'm offsetting that, right? And so it's this argument that we kind of create in our heads to explain to ourselves why it's okay to eat one way and not the other. And so I would just encourage, and what I do with people who love to drink soda, because I used to drink Diet Coke too, and I love the burn. It's that burn in the back of your throat. And so what I started doing and how I work with my patients is I tell them, okay, well, I know you like that burn feeling. Why don't we start with some carbonated drinks with fruit? And so Spindrift, for instance, is a great option for that. And sometimes that fills the void. And initially, it's going to be hard for your boy or your son because he's going to think it's not sweet enough. But over time, he will start appreciating Spindrift. I still drink carbonated water unflavored because I do enjoy that burn feeling. And so you can have carbonated drinks, just want to do it without the sugars or the fake sugars.
Well, I hope that helps, Nikki. And we're going to continue doing these shows because, unfortunately, we're out of time and we still have questions from listeners. These issues are so incredibly important. Dr. Agarwal, just quickly, we have about a minute left. We're getting a number of questions about oils, and you just conducted a major, major study about olive oil. Can you just give us an overview on cooking oils? It's also getting a lot of attention because of RFK Jr. and the attention on seed oils. His supporters are constantly talking about seed oils.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a misconception in the world that oil is good for you. You know, I think that there are oils that are less bad for you, but I'm not sure that we should be thinking of oil as good for you. So what does that mean? Well, you know, when we start out with olives, olives are loaded in fiber and they have the phytonutrients. They have essential vitamins and minerals. But then what we do is we take hundreds and hundreds of olives and we compress out all of the fiber and all the, and we keep the nutrients, but we compress out all of the fiber and we compress it down so that you can get now in one tablespoon of oil, you can get 14 grams of fat, right? And so what people don't realize is that most of these oils, we have processed them into all they are is a liquid form of fat, right? And so, yes, you're getting some of the nutrient value that comes from the original food, but you're losing so much of it and you're getting so much concentrated fat. So we conducted a study, and we probably don't have time to go through the whole study, but we conducted a study to look at the benefits of olive oil and on top of a plant-based diet, because that's what Mediterranean diets are, right? Mediterranean diets are plant-based diets with some oil, some wine, and a little bit of meat to make it simplistic.
Dr. Agarwal, sorry to cut you off, but we're out of time, but we'll definitely link to the study, and we'd love to have you back for a longer conversation. Dr.
Yeah,
Monica
I'm sorry
Agarwal,
about that.
No problem. And Dr. Daphne Bascom are both featured at this year's Food Revolution Summit. It kicks offline today. It is free. Thank you both so much for joining us. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.